Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. You can write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email me your audio file. You can send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us. This is the podcast that goes on all year about ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, hey, we're just here for the season and then we're going to talk about Santa Claus next week.
No.
It's ghosts year-round here at Real Ghost Stories Online. So do press subscribe and enjoy the program. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
I was kind of saddened yesterday when I was at, or was it yesterday? I don't know.
It was yesterday at home.
Yeah, at the at-home store. Because we're when this airs, it's a little bit into October, but the day that we went there, not quite October yet, and almost all of the Halloween stuff has like been relegated to like one little corner aisle.
They've moved on to Christmas.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, if I remember right, is Christmas then done by the beginning of December at that store too, or at home stores, or do they kind of hold on to that one
a
little longer?
I think it hangs on a little bit longer just because of the sheer amount of product that they have. There's so much, so many things, and then they've got to do the sales to get rid of it.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, you know, a lot of folks, they when you go and decorate, it's a fairly, you know, last minute thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, oh, okay, let's go decorate. It's October now. We can do it. But now a lot of the stores won't even have the stuff in October.
Sure.
It's like, what do you mean you didn't get it yet? You didn't go get that in August? You know? It's like, no, not quite. I don't know. It just seems like they could hold on to it for a little bit longer.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it, too, is, you know, a lot more planning has to go into Christmas than people put into Halloween. And, like, they want to make sure when people start putting their trees up, if somebody needs to go get a new tree, they still have the trees out.
That's true. But what if you need to get a new gravestone or something? I mean, no one seems to care about the Halloween decor. Anyway, I hope they, I hope we have longer Halloween seasons in the future.
It's Halloween.
Less
every
Christmas,
day
more
in
Halloween.
Our house.
That's true. That's true. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Janitor calling from Plymouth Meeting, PA. I wrote in a story or two before, and you didn't read them on the air, so thank you for that because I want to hear a voice. But I just got done listening to your show, and something just popped into my head that I just remembered happened a couple weeks ago, and I was wondering what you think about this. I have three kids. I have a 22-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And I think my husband and the 10-year-old might have been out and the 22 was out. He was at work, and I think the other two might have been, like, outside or something, but in the house was just me and the 7-year-old. And we were upstairs, and I was cleaning up, and my 7-year-old was probably on his iPad, you know, looking up videos or something. And I hear him go, like, "Jesse," and that's my 22-year-old. And then I'm like, you know, I said to him, "What are you doing? Like, why are you calling him?" And he's at work. He said, "Well, I just heard him talking." And the weird thing is that I heard him too. Like, he said he heard him saying, like, some words. I forget what he said. I just heard kind of like mumbling, but it sounded like his voice. And I was just so shocked that we, like, both heard the same thing. But thank God my 22-year-old is alive and he was at work. So I was like, is that like a residual thing, like, happening in my house? Even though, like, I felt residual happen, but it was, like, from the past, like, people that are deceased or something. But this is, like, somebody who's alive, and we heard it, and I just thought it was, like, the strangest thing. So if you want to use this, great, and, you know, let me know what you think. And if other people want to chime in, that would be great, too. All right, love your show. Keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Those always confuse me, because I don't know if it's residual or if it's something trying to mimic somebody that's alive.
And that's one where it's really hard to know if it is something mimicking, if it is something residual. Because we have had stories where it's, you know, from a living person.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they're talking about, oh, I was daydreaming. I was back at home, or I was somewhere else. And then for some reason, those people at that setting heard that person or saw that person.
They almost, it's yeah. like an astral projection.
Almost, yeah. So I would ask him if he can remember. I mean, it's, you know, fairly, you know, if nothing was standing out, it'd be difficult to say, what were you thinking about 4 days ago or several weeks ago at this exact time? You probably almost have to ask it immediately after to recall that. But it's worth shooting out there. Maybe he fell asleep at work that day and said, hey, and I'm not saying he's a lazy person. I'm just throwing random possibilities out there. I dreamt I was at home, you know, and that may be an interesting conclusion to that. Or nothing at all. I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. But that does happen from time to time. What it is, I don't know. But it's not the first story we've had where that sort of phenomena occurs. Thanks for sharing your story with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Toll free here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Hello.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Jenny. It's Josh. I called actually about a year ago, around this same time a year ago. I am now, of course, like I mentioned last time I called, I'm an EPP member, proudly. But I had a few more stories for you, a few things that happened since I last spoke to you guys. Well, one new one and one something that happened a while ago that I never mentioned when I called. So two quick stories, actually. First one, both of them actually having to deal with ghost tours. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt if you want, but I'm a firm believer that things happened. But first one, my wife and I, we took a trip to Charleston, South Carolina in 2014. Just a little summer getaway. We were only gone for about 3-4 days, something like that. And while we were down there, you know, I'm a huge history buff. I love history, you know, tours and museums and all that good stuff. And, of course, obviously, I also love ghosts and ghost stories. My wife booked us a ghost tour one of the nights that we were there. So after dinner one night on the beach, her and I met up with a tour group, and we went and we walked through downtown Charleston, which is very historically prominent when it comes to spooky stuff and ghosts and all kinds of interesting tales of the macabre, I guess you could say. But the one that really kind of stuck out was that at towards the end of the tour, we were walking through a jail that used to serve as a jailhouse for pirates, since Charleston was a major port for pirates back in the day. And they were in the bottom of the jail where basically all the prisoners, it was almost like a self-eradicating room of vermin, I guess you could say, because if it rained or if the ocean, the tide came in, it would flood the basement and drown all the prisoners. So, I mean, it just, you know, back in the day, as horrible as it may sound, less mouths to feed, less criminals to worry about. It's basically, if you're stationed in this bottom room, it was almost a death sentence because the tide would come up that high at least once or twice a month. It just all really depended on, you know, when and, you know, how, you know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, so we're in there and we're taking pictures. The tour guide's telling stories that she's experienced and so on and so forth, trying to catch glimpses of orbs and whatnot. And then I look down the one hallway, and it looks like an employee hallway, and there's a tall shadow of a man. It looks like he's got old pirate garb on, kind of like a, you know, the 1700s, maybe even 1600s dress, standing there in the hallway, like, looking out. And I say, oh, that's creepy. And the tour guide's like, what's that? And I was like, do you guys do dress-ups or, you know, do reenactments or anything like that? And mind you, this is at probably about 10:30 at night, so it's not like they were getting ready for a show or anything. It was definitely towards the end of the night. Downtown was getting ready to come alive with tourists, like bars and restaurants and stuff like that. So she was like, no, why are you asking? And I said, well, there's a guy down there. And she was like, there shouldn't be anyone down there. I'm the only one down here. I'm the only one allowed down here. There's no one else. I've already checked. So I don't know if she's acting or not. I like to think she wasn't, because when we both looked up, that person was gone. And there was a couple girls in our group that were taking selfies in that area, and we looked at their pictures, and you can clearly see how there's, in like a matter of seconds, a silhouette of a man standing there, and then the next, he's gone. So, pretty spooky stuff. Anyway, yeah, the last one I was telling you about was the tour in the pirate jail in Charleston, South Carolina. But this next one's one of my favorite. So I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, and we have a hospital, old abandoned hospital here, for tuberculosis patients called Waverly. You may have heard of it. I know it's been on TV and like ghost hunting shows and stuff like that before. But very spooky stuff. A lot of people have unfortunately passed away there, and just a lot of dark history tied to the place. They do tours now, and every Halloween season, me and friends usually try to get out and do at least one or two during that season. So it's definitely one of my favorite things I like to talk about to, you know, tourists around the town as they come in the area. But anyway, so last Halloween, myself and several friends went on this tour, and I believe it's four stories, and on each story, you know, they have their own different ghost stories or things that have happened, like the tour guide to tell you spooky stuff that's happened to them personally, or old urban legends, or so on and so forth. But this one in particular, one of the friends in the group, he's a skeptic, and they like to single those guys out, and it's pretty interesting to see how quickly they can turn people's attitudes around. So anyway, my friend was kind of scoffing at some of these stories, and on the top floor, it seems to be the most active as far as paranormal stuff goes. So a lot of, you know, readings and things were caught on film, supposedly, and just overall unnerving things. People being pushed downstairs, it's pretty scary. But one of the biggest stories is that there's a room up there on the top floor where a nurse supposedly hung herself. She had an affair with a doctor, and she was pregnant, and you know, there's a lot of conflicting information about what actually happened, or, you know, how much of it is true or not, but the legend goes that a nurse unfortunately hung herself, and her spirit has remained and become quite the angry presence and likes to mess with people. And so we're up in that hallway right outside that room, and the tour guide tells my friend, who had been scoffing a lot of the stories, to go stand at the opposite end of the hallway towards where the door to the room that the nurse supposedly hung herself. So he goes down there, and he, you know, it's dark, there's no lights on. They just have flashlights and your own cell phone kind of lights your way. And the tour guide says, give me your phone. So he keeps the guy's phone, and he shines his own light down the hallway so he can see where he's going, so he doesn't trip over anything. And he gets to the end of the hallway, and then he takes the light off of him, so you can barely see a silhouette of him, but you can't really see any other details. And within, I don't know, 5 minutes, it gets freezing cold on that top floor. And all of a sudden, you can see, like, what looks like people running across the hallway in front of my friend, and you can't see any detail of him at all anymore. And he starts getting a little uncomfortable. He's like, hey, you know what's going on? So the tour guide takes his flashlight and he shines it back down the hallway. My friend, you can't see him, like, at all. Like, you can barely make out his shoes. But there appears to be this, like, shadow that goes over him that covers him completely up. And it's not, like, a strong enough flashlight or beam to, like, blast whatever it was. But you can clearly tell that it wasn't a special effect. It wasn't a prop. Like, people weren't moving sheets in front of him. It wasn't people themselves running in front. It was, like, a moving, living shadow, it looked like. So the tour guide goes to take a picture of him with his cell phone, my friend's cell phone, and the cell phone dies immediately. It was at like 98%, dies instantly. So, of course, you know, he tells my friend, he's like, come on back down this way. He comes down, and he's got goosebumps the size of pimples on his arm. And, I mean, he is just shooken to his very core. We go to leave, and after the tour, we go to leave, and he's a Roman Catholic, so a strong believer in very traditional Catholic beliefs. He goes to leave, and I noticed that he had taken a rosary from one of my other friends that went with us and was holding on to it and muttering several prayers. He looked like he was going to throw up. So it was very, very spooky. Funny to see him so scared, but I would not want to be in his shoes because I'm not sure what exactly he saw, and then he would never talk about it. And to this day, he doesn't want to talk about it. So, but anyway, that is my story. I mentioned before, I love what you guys do. I know that a lot of these stories may come across as exaggerated or bogus, and to be able to tell these stories without fear of judgment is, you know, just a true blessing. It's really nice to get these things off of our chest. Everyone that's ever experienced anything paranormal. So you guys are great. You guys do a great job. You're a wonderful host to listen to. I've been binge listening to you guys for a while. And you help me get through the work day. And you help me on the commute, to and from work. So thank you so much again, guys. And keep up the good work. Take care.
A better mix of ghost stories for your work day.
I love both his stories.
I do, too.
The first one, the pirate one, that's just great.
Yeah.
That's just great imagery, you know?
I was kind of hoping that the pirate that we saw when we were in Savannah was going to be a ghost and not just somebody dressed as Captain Morgan.
Yeah. What a letdown.
Turned out he was just a character. Mm-hmm. Someone dressed as Captain Morgan or something like
that. Yeah. Charleston's on my list.
Yeah.
Is it on your list?
Yeah, it'd be neat. Yeah, I think it's kind of up there.
And as far as Waverly goes, I've never heard anybody call and say, yeah, we went to Waverly, but nothing happened.
Yeah, it's going to be a sad day if that place ever goes away. If at some point it's like, well, they're finally going to tear it down or what, you know. I'm not extremely familiar with how it's laid out or anything like that, just that I think it probably is. You know, if we were to say what's one of the most common places that we get ghost stories from on the show over the years, that would have to be in the top three.
Yeah,
if not,
I was gonna say top five at least.
That Queen Mary, I would think Waverly might be number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't like have a running tally of any of this, but just so many people have stories of that place. Mm-hmm. And you're exactly right. Nobody's ever said I went to Waverly and nothing.
Yeah,
it's like you're guaranteed almost to have something.
It doesn't disappoint.
It does not. So thank you for the stories. Thanks for sharing. Do greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802 to share your ghost stories with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And by the way, if you have not seen it yet or have not heard about it yet, our book is out. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold, it is available to enjoy. Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People is exactly what it's called if you're familiar with the show. And our logo, it's right on the cover, so it's kind of hard to miss.
Yeah,
if you are familiar with the program. But do check it out and leave some reviews out there on Amazon or wherever you will get your books at. Would greatly appreciate that. Helps us climb those book charts. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Like many of your listeners, I grew up in a haunted house. It was in Melbourne, Australia. It was your typical suburban house built in the 70s. My family's the only one that ever lived there. My parents are still there, so no idea where the ghost came from. It all started when I was about 5 years old. My dad brought home a wooden bedhead. I believe it was from one of those shops. I don't know if they still exist, but they used to sell raw pine furniture for cheap, and you'd bring it home and you'd stain it or varnish it yourself. And I think it was one of those sort of shops. It's pretty much from the first night I slept in the bed with this new bedhead. It was like someone was just flicking the bedhead really gently next to my ear. And this, it used to go on for hours every night. It used to drive me mental. And it was really annoying because it was like the sound. It was so quiet. It was meant just for me. No one else was bothered by it. Only I could hear it. And even as a five-year-old, I would, I remember pulling apart my mattress, looking for anything. There was nothing hitting the bedhead. There was no joins or anything coming loose. It was where it was, the sound was coming from was right in the center of the wood. So I just couldn't understand what was causing the noise. And yeah, that used to drive me bonkers. But eventually it stopped when I grabbed the bedhead by both hands. It was about 6 months later, and I just ripped it left and right and up and down, and I just went nuts at it, and it stopped. So, you know, I couldn't explain it. I can't explain it to this day. About a year later, and this was about 33 years ago. I still remember the dream I was having. It affected me that much. The dream was nothing special. I was at school doing some work or something or other. When out of nowhere, there was this three really hard knocks on my head, just bang, bang, bang. And I shot awake. My hands flew up to my head. I was like, what the hell is that? I was looking around. There was nothing out of place at all. And these are really hard knocks, like that actually hurt. And it wasn't flat like a book hit me or anything like that. It felt like a fingertip, like it was pointy. And the only thing I could think of was my brother, because I shared a room with him, not in bunk beds. If it was a bunk bed, it would have been plausible that he'd reached down and whacked me on the head for whatever reason, but he was sleeping over the other side of the room, so there was just no way he could have hit me and flown back into bed that quickly, because I was awake that fast. But nevertheless, I got out of bed and I stood over him for a good 2 or 3 minutes just watching him, and he was just snoring his head off, so it wasn't him. But at that age, I wasn't thinking ghosts. Like, I was just confused. I had no idea what hit me. And I remember complaining to my parents, and they said, oh, you were sleeping, you were dreaming. I was like, no, I was dreaming, but I wasn't dreaming that I was getting hit in the head. Like, it was something that hit me. So nothing else really happened until I was a teenager, apart from just being absolutely terrified of the house for no reason. And I really couldn't understand why I was so scared of it, like to the point where if I was home alone, I would lock myself in the bathroom until someone got home. Like, and I didn't know why. I was just terrified of the house. So it wasn't until I was about 15 where, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, just every night, I could feel a presence at the end of my bed. I don't claim to be psychic in any way, shape or form, but there was just something there. Like, I don't know what, but I just felt something there, to the point where I couldn't stretch my legs out in the bed. It felt like, the only way I could describe it is like if I had my feet in a guillotine and any second that blade's going to come down. It was just that anticipation that something is going to happen. And I spent many nights curled up in a ball, and that's how I went to sleep, because I just couldn't even stretch my legs down to the end of my bed. And one night, I was lying on my side. I could see the door out the corner of my eye, and I saw someone walk in the bedroom. And I just completely ignored it. I thought, oh, it's my mum. Like, it was only about 9:30 at night, so she was still up sort of pottering around the house. I thought maybe she'd, you know, gone to collect some dirty clothes or something like that. I was a teenager, so I had clothes all over the room or whatever. After about 5 seconds of lying there, I'm thinking, what is she doing? Like, I haven't seen her leave the room, and it's been completely silent. She hasn't made any noise. And so I roll over, and of course no one's in the room. And just as I roll over and go, oh crap, my mum walks past the doorway, and I start freaking out. I'd start calling her back in saying, you know, I just saw someone walk in the room. And so, oh, you're dreaming. And I got really angry. I actually got out of bed and started following her around the house saying, no, listen to me. I wasn't asleep. I wasn't dreaming. I just saw someone. And she was laughing, and my dad had a laugh. And I was really angry. And I know it's a big stretch for someone to say, yes, you saw a ghost, like if they don't believe in that sort of thing. But I don't know. I was just angry. I went back to bed. I wasn't frightened at all. I was just fuming, and I was just staring at this presence at the end of my bed, just really angry at it. And I think it was probably a few days later. I was probably late afternoon, lying in bed, just listening to some music on my Walkman, and I just got fed up. Like, I could feel this thing at the end of my bed again, as always, and I just started swearing at it under my breath, saying, you know, what the F are you doing here? You know, you just stand there all day, blah blah blah, just going off at it, saying, if you're really there, you prove it to me right now. You effing show yourself to me. Go on, give me a sign. And as soon as I said, give me a sign, the cassette in my Walkman chewed up. And you better believe I shut my mouth and apologized and kind of went, oh crap, what have I done? You can argue it's just a coincidence, but God, what a coincidence. As soon as I said, show me a sign, the cassette chews up. And like most kids in the early 90s, I was listening to my Walkman sort of night and day sort of thing, and this is the only time it ever chewed a tape up, is when I said that. So I don't know. I mean, to this day, I still think, was it a coincidence? But I don't know. You guys tell me what you think. And it was probably a day later. I don't know if that kind of stirred it up even worse. It probably did. But a day or so after that, I had the most terrifying dream of my life. Like, it only went for about 2 seconds, but it just scared the hell out of me. So I was lying, the dream was I was lying sideways on my bed, on my back, with my head and shoulders sort of dangling off the bed, looking up at the roof, which when you think about it, that's a very vulnerable position, being sort of my head and shoulders sort of hanging off the bed like that. And again, out of the corner of my eye, I could see the doorway. And out of nowhere, this black figure just rushes into the door like superhuman speed. Before I could react, it was just above me, looking down at me, and I absolutely crapped myself. I shot bolt upright like they do in the movies, and I was shaking. I was thinking, what was that thing? I remember thinking, what was that? It didn't have a face. What the hell was that? The reason why I don't just dismiss this as a nightmare is because, again, this is the early 90s. We don't have the internet. I've never heard of a shadow person before. Like you guys, I grew up watching Unsolved Mysteries, and, you know, their idea of a ghost was a depressed-looking actor in sort of grey clothes and grey makeup. So never heard of a shadow person before. So, and I actually remember going to school the next day and trying to describe it to my friends. Like, it was like a silhouette of a person, but it was three-dimensional, and it moved freely from the wall. Like, it wasn't a normal shadow and blah, blah, blah. And so to me, I don't know, I find that significant, and that absolutely terrified me, that dream. And again, I thought, well, there's nothing I can do. I just felt harassed by the end of it, like there's all these things happening one after the other. But after that, everything sort of cooled down for a while. The last thing that happened to me was, I was already about 18 at that point. I'd moved out of my bedroom and into my brother's bedroom, because he'd, by that point he'd moved out of home. So I was like, yes, I'll take his bedroom, thank you. And one night, it was about 11 o'clock, I was leaning up in bed against the wall behind me, just reading a book. And from the ceiling to the floor, in a direct line right behind me, it was like someone just started bashing the wall, like bang, 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 bang. And it went slow enough that I actually sat forward and turned around and was staring at the wall going, what the hell is that? And it just went bang, 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 right down to the floor. And I just, by that point, I just shrugged and thought, oh, that was a big possum in the wall or something like that. I think I was just in denial, because, I mean, there's no way an animal would have made that noise. If an animal had a fallen down some sort of crawl space in the wall, there'd be a scraping, sliding noise as it's trying to grip on or something. Like, this sounded like a fist bashing against the wall. And that is sort of where it ended. I just sort of went, oh, not paying any attention to that. And whether that had something to do with it not coming back or whatever, I don't know. But it wasn't before long I moved out of home anyway. But yeah, my parents still live there. I've been back a few times. I live interstate now, so it's a bit difficult. But, you know, even if anything was going on, I'm sure they'd deny it anyway. So that's it. That's my story. Thanks for listening. I hope to hear it on the show. And thanks a lot, guys. Bye-bye.
So did everything start then with that headboard that they got?
Seemed to be around that time.
I'm wondering if something just came on in with the headboard and decided not to leave.
All these things surrounding beds.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, you spend a lot of time in a bed.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, a lot of emotions too, just dreaming and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, I guess it just, it's one of those objects that are going to be naturally charged if used.
Yeah.
But haunted headboards.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an object you would buy? Would you buy a used headboard?
Have I ever bought a used headboard?
I don't know. Would you?
I don't think I ever have purchased a used headboard, and I don't know that I would, just for that reason.
Now?
Yeah.
Nothing you would have thought of before doing the show.
No, not before doing the show. But now, yeah, I think I would consider that on my no list.
There's something creepy about some of the older ones too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. Whenever I'm like in an antique store and I'm walking around, I'm like, oh, look, there's headboards. I don't know what it is, but that's an object that makes you just kind of go, hmm. I don't know if it, you know, some of the more ornate ones, you know, obviously they can just have that because of the way they look. But that's one of those objects that just always stands out to me, is kind of like, I don't know. I don't know about this. I don't know why.
Well, especially old headboards, a lot of people, you know, they had their death bed.
Sure.
That's why they called it that. And
it's true.
A lot of people die in bed.
It's true.
So some of those you have to think have to.
Yeah. You don't even know if it's someone did die in bed. You know, oh, it's grandma's old bed. We're getting rid of it now. And you probably have a very good possibility of that. I never even think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's creepy. Thanks for the story and sending it into us. 855-853-4802. Our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to one more call for today's show. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Lauren from Southern California. I finally want to send in my story to you guys. I just ended listening to Cry in the Night, and Tony was asking if anyone had any evidence or stories about ghost apps. And I have one. So I think that's kind of what made me go for it, finally, after listening for a year and a half. So, I moved into this house when I was in sixth grade. Had a pretty normal childhood, nothing weird. The house was perfectly fine, nothing happening inside the house. In high school is when I first got interested in the paranormal, and I just thought it was fascinating, and I can't say I'm empathic or psychic, but it was just an interesting subject. It was new to me, so I love learning all I could about it. I think around the end of high school, I downloaded that app, and I would play with it on and off. I mean, it's literally just spewing words out to you, trying to scare you, if it's real, if it's not, whatever. I just thought it was interesting and kind of fun to play with. One of my chores, since being little, was to walk our family dog at least every day, every other day, whenever. And since I started that, I don't want to say I'm a very, very much of a person that just observes things, but I got kind of obsessed with this name written on the concrete, like if the concrete was wet and someone carved a name in it. It was there when I first moved there. It's been there forever. So the other odd thing was when I was younger, still at sixth, seventh grade, I would always bring flowers or little plants to this piece of curb or concrete, and I would like lay the flowers or little pretty plants near the name just on the sidewalk. I don't know why I did that. I just did. And I thought it was, you know, like a little memorial. So I just like, okay, that's cool. So anyways, I was using the Ghost app probably when I was around 18. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go use it outside for once. Like, that'll be interesting. It's nice outside. It was evening. Why not? So I go outside and I start walking down the street. And I mean, I'm just getting all these words, whatever, it means nothing to me. It's just, oh, this is fun, whatever, just having a nice walk. And all of a sudden, I get the name. And I was probably between 10 and 5 steps towards the name on the sidewalk, which the name was Sally. And it appeared on my phone, Sally. And I don't want to say I lost it, but I was kind of shocked and caught off guard. And that was pretty much the story. I was so, I don't know, I can't even explain it. I was like almost excited. Like I forgot to take a screenshot, and to this day I'm like super sad about it because it legit happened. And my dad was up the street doing something in the garage, and I ran back home and I told him the story, and he just looked at me like I was crazy. Like, how, that doesn't make any sense, whatever. He just blew it off. And I was like, okay, whatever. I experienced this. You didn't. But how can that happen? How does that happen? It was a name. I don't have any family members, no friends, no one. I don't have any, I don't know anyone named Sally in my phone. And I've never taken a picture of this carving in the concrete. How can this ghost app say Sally? How? It still blows my mind. The only thing that I always come back to is, sorry if I'm rambling, but one of my friends down the street, her parents, I guess, lived there long time. And I don't know how long ago, but from what I've heard is that one of the houses, a couple doors down, a woman either committed suicide or she was murdered. I don't know which one. It's kind of blurry. I tried doing research. I couldn't find anything on the internet. I don't really know how I can dig up more info on that. I don't even know if her name was Sally. I don't know. But the carving is kind of close to her house. It's more on the corner of the street than anything. I don't know if there's any link to it, but I mean, that house I always remember would always be on sale. Like every other year or so, it's up for sale. So I know that those are two weird things, but yeah, just tell me, please, someone tell me how Sally can come up on my phone as it is written in concrete that has been there for forever. how does it happen? All right. Thanks for listening to my story. Have a great day.
It happens because ghosts are controlling the phone.
I think Sally was saying hi.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good one.
Do you think it was Sally or do you think it was something else that was just kind of using that to get attention?
I don't know, but either way, it's paranormal.
That's true.
So I don't know that it really matters.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to tell because obviously not a whole lot more happened other than just the name coming up on the phone. Do you put more stock in the apps, the ghost apps now, than initially when they first started coming out, just with the stories that we've had about them on the show over the years?
I think maybe so, just because I think it's another way your intention is to communicate with mm-hmm. the other side.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say it's like as bad as a Ouija board or anything, but I don't know that I want to play with one.
Sure.
And I hate it when you play with them around me. So that's how
I play with them during the show all the time. I don't even have them on my phone anymore. I remember we had a TV, and I think it's still on that TV. It was a smart TV mm-hmm. where you could get apps and stuff on it. And one of the apps on the television was Ghost Radar.
Yeah.
Just like, this is bizarre.
You played with that one in our bedroom and I hated
it. Yeah. It never, the TV one, I don't think did a whole lot, but the phone one seemed to.
I don't like that.
To pull things or at least give you random words at the very least. Thank you for calling in and sharing those stories with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. That's where you go to ghostpodcast.com and you sign up. You get access to all of our bonus episodes. We put a brand new one out every single week with some of the best ghost stories that we got on it. And it's exclusive for EPPs. $5 a month is all it is, or you can sign up for a full year and get yourself a bunk bed. Or you can choose to have a phone session with us where you can call in and we'll arrange a time and hear your ghost story and maybe use it on the future episode of the program. So some extra perks there when you sign up for that year-long membership at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.